And that's a great intro to the new episode of NR7. Lots of problems.
the levels on the other input are all the way down. But that's okay. We'll just run it this way for tonight, and then I'll fix it after the fact.
All right. Well, since I don't feel like stopping and restarting, we'll go with it. As you can tell, Mopes is here. Big.
It's debatable how much here I am.
And, yeah, Big sounds like he's less here. Which is lovely. But needed to at least put something out before the people started attacking again. It only hold up against so many sieges before you have to calm down the herd to get outside to get groceries.
They're only cattle prods. You could just, you know, let them hit you.
Well, that's what you sent them out with. They've upgraded as they've gone.
Oh, well. I didn't actually... Anyways.
That's probably going to be a shit show today. But like I said, figure out, put something out. Let's first go over Mups showing a small indie game, Slender Man.
Yeah, it's Slender, the 8 pages. It's a free game, looks like somebody's little project. And it's an attempt at a horror game. And it's actually supposed to be scary and creepy, not just, you know, startling you or stuff popping out at you. And essentially, it came out of the Something Awful forums. They invented a mythos in the guide of... They invented their own monster in the guise of, like, Nessie, the Loch Ness Monster, Sasquatch, Mothman. So they invented their own monster, and they called him...
Did not.
Okay, fine. Slenderman's real. And, you know, so they invented Slenderman. And it's this dude with no face in a suit who can have tentacles coming out of his back. And apparently he abducts you and takes you off or eats you, or nobody really knows. So they made this video game. And it's a little first-person game. It's not really a shooter because your only weapon is running away like a little bitch. It sort of reminds me of Amnesia. And... you have a flashlight, and the batteries will die in the flashlight, so you want to be careful about that. And you're exploring this park, and you're trapped in the park, and you're trying to find these 8 pages of Slenderman drawings, I guess. I don't know. The MacGuffins. It's just, you know, magical puzzle pieces, keys, gems, bits of the Triforce, whatever you want to call it. You're looking for, in this case, pages. And you're trying to get 8 of them before the Slenderman gets you. And until you get the first one, you can pretty much wander around without too much of a problem. But once you start picking up pages, he starts coming after you. You never actually see him move, but he teleports. And if he teleports, he only teleports when you're not looking at him. So there's kind of a creep factor to it. And if you look at him long enough, you lose. The screen starts to fuzz out and... Yeah, so you can sprint, but your character gets out of breath easily, so we're assuming they're an out-of-weight, or overweight, you know, run like a little bitch, because you can't fight back, and you can't run for very long. So, but it's an interesting game, and it actually does get a pretty good, you know, get you in that good mood, you know what I mean? It's not just stuff jumping at you, it actually does kind of play on the psyche a little bit to try to creep you out. And if you do get close to the Slender Man, he's not the most pleasant looking fellow. He's not like grotesque or ugly or anything like that. It's just
he's just odd,
unnerving. I think is what they're going for with him. You know, because if you've gotten close to him yet, BSV, you were playing it. Did you let him get close enough and actually get a good look at him?
All I could tell is he had odd, smooth face and the suit.
Yeah, he's got a suit, no face, and he's got all these weird tentacles flying right out of his back, so...
I didn't see the tentacles.
Ah.
But then again, as soon as I saw him, I turned around and ran, so...
Yeah. So...
Managed to stay alive and get fur pages despite having to backtrack.
Well, there's but, like... Yeah. Apparently there's like 10 common places the pages can spawn on the map. And, of course, you know, there's only 8 pages, so it's not the same every time you play it. And apparently, at least according to YouTube videos, if you beat it, it unlocks a few other game modes, and one of which is to play the game during the day, which I imagine makes it a hell of a lot easier, as you can actually see where you're going and what you're doing. Because that's one of the big challenges of the game, is that you've only got this little flashlight, and it's really easy to get yourself turned around and lost, because you can't really, you know, it's really disorienting, because you can't see where you're going. But... it's a free game. It's kind of a fun little creepy game. And it's certainly worth cost of admission.
Please, always.
Yeah, the only thing that sucks is the main download page takes you to one of those portal sites where it's like, wait 5 minutes unless you give us money, and then you can download your file. But, you know, I just wait the 5 minutes or find somebody who's mirrored it up on Mediafile, because I'm sure there's plenty.
Yeah. And also, despite being a simple game, yeah, it does have no, I was creeped out while playing it.
And, you know, for a little free game, it looks good.
Oh, yeah.
So, that's it. That's all I've got. it's free. Go try it. It's fun.
Let's see here. Pretty much the only thing I have to review is Tribes Ascend, but pretty sure Suave wanted to talk about that too, but...
Well, he's not here, so screw him.
Do it anyway!
Alright. So, those who don't know or haven't played any of the Tribes Ascend or games, Tribes Ascend is... I don't know which one it is in the series, since I never actually played the first one, sadly. But pretty
it's,
much
it's
they...
It's like four, maybe? Three or four.
But pretty much in this one, they went with the free-to-play, so you can download it, play it out, and pretty much you can eventually unlock everything in the game with... I'll spend in a cent, but as far as from what I've heard of the Tribes game, that they to have pretty much all the stuff in it. You have the jetpack, the ski, ability, and don't know about all the other modes, but mainly just been playing Capture the Flag, which, like, since you can... But defense-wise, each person has their own base, well, each team. And there's the generator and turrets and sensors that you can all keep repaired or upgrade. Then, curse, pretty much it's the standard capture the flag, get the flag and return it, try not to get killed. I don't really know what to say. I think the classes, I think there's roughly 8 or 9. There's the Pathfinder, pretty much the quick, fragile person. The Infiltrator, they can cloak and on the weak side of I think they're a little bit stronger than the Pathfinder, but I don't know for sure. There's the Sentry, pretty much Sniper, then the Surger, the all-around class. There's the Technician, which they can put down turrets and that. There's the Juggernaut, which is pretty much one of the three heavy classes that move a lot. Well, not too much slower, but they tend not to be able to use their jetpack as much, but can take a lot more beating. The main difference between them is the weapons. The Juggernaut is pretty much murders, area bombardment. There's the Brute, which I like, but it can be a bit of a pain. So their weapon, well, main stone weapon, is, can't remember what it's called, but it's pretty much a...
It's one of the spin fusers, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a special spin fuser. Yeah, pretty much long range, straight hit, energy explosive. What was the last one? The Doombringer, yeah. Which is your base defense. They can put up energy shields that block certain weapons. And I believe you can unlock landmines for them too. So, again, when you first download it, you get three classes, the Juggernaut, the Soldier, and the Pathfinder. The other ones you unlock by XP, which you gain through the matches. Same with extra weapons. And there's also perks that you can swap out. Like one is Reach, which lets you grab the flag at a further distance. Some of those can be... make some neat combos once you get them unlocked. I've been having a lot of fun with it. I think the main thing is plays a lot different than most of the modern shooters, which is quite refreshing in my opinion.
You see, that's one of the reasons why I enjoyed Tribes Vengeance, I believe. That was just the last one that I played. The classes all felt different. They all had different ways you could play them. With Team Fortress 2, what little I was able to play, all the classes seemed basically the same, other than, you know, your scout's a little bit faster and you don't have a big weapon.
I would argue with you on that on TF2.
Yeah.
Like I said, I haven't really played much of TF2.
Well, I mean, they're all... You know, TF2, it's all about the shooting the other guys, so, you know... I'm not arguing that too much. The only one that really plays heavily different from the others would probably be your
spy.
Your spy. Yeah, and the rest of them are still all about the shooting the guys. But, you know, they all have a different rhythm to it, I think is the easiest way to put it. You know, so I wouldn't say that the classes are all the same in TF2, but they're kind of samey, but I mean, you're going to get that in any shooter.
Yeah.
So, well, I don't know. You could argue that on Engineer and Sniper too in TF2, but now in Tribes, you know, the different classes definitely felt different.
Like pretty much looking at the stats for stuff, each class has their own base mass, which affects their movement and all that.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I mean, you know, you play a Pathfinder, and I mean, you can just zip all over the map, but somebody scratches you with a overly rough, rusty knife, and you fall over dead. Yeah. Whereas if you go in with the Doombringer, it feels like you can't hardly move at all.
Yeah, and also one of the things is, like, if you play a Pathfinder, one of the smaller units, actually, the surviving a blast will throw you in the other direction, more or less, depending on how big your character is. I don't know if you noticed that at all, but yeah, if you have a missile hit close to a scout, you'll get tossed a lot more than if you're a Doombringer or that.
Yeah.
But another thing I really enjoyed about Tribes, again, I haven't played much of TF2, so I don't know. Bullets had velocity. with a lot of modern first-person shooters, you point, you shoot, the bullet is pretty much instantly there. Yeah. I think they call it, like, scan hit or hit scanning, that's it, yeah. In Trimes, you've actually got velocity. You've got to aim it just right. You've got to get an arc. It's awesome. It's fun.
Well, yeah, no, yeah. When you're doing the disc launchers, because there are some hit-scan weapons in Tribes, the sniper rifle certainly being one of them, but, Infiltrator. Or not the Infiltrator, the... whatever they're calling their sniper class. And
I think it's Sentry. Or...
Sentry, that might be it. But with the spin fusers, it definitely... I mean, yeah, if you're booking along and you shoot somebody line of sight, your shot goes faster. And that's something that was screwing me up early on because I thought I had my shots lined up, but because I was traveling at an angle, my shots weren't going where I expected them to. So it's really, you know, really up there with the physics.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's also one thing. The guns all feel like different guns. Or the different types, at least. Yeah, there's the spin fusers, there's the just regular guns like the chain gun for the Doombringer. There's the... did I say the spin fusers?
We've mentioned them a couple times. Yeah.
There's the murders. There's regular grenade launchers and... pretty much all of them have their own special physics and way of actually tracking to hit. So, no, yeah, definitely feels different. Doesn't feel like the click and you're guaranteed a shot if it's lined up. So, which also brings into the whole... I don't really know how to describe it other than ground-based dogfighting.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it.
Because since, again, you have multiple movements, you have your jetpack and your ski ability, which lets you go down a slope quickly and spin, or shoot across the ground, which... don't know the top speeds, but I know like some of the characters you can get up to close to 200k or so, which is quite interesting when you're on foot. let's see, I think that's pretty much it.
Go ahead.
Well, I was just asking if anybody else had anything they wanted to say about it.
I do have a game I'd like to mention.
Alright. Before we go.
Alright.
Probably should rate Tribes.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
Well, again, it's free, so... again... it's free to play, but you can put money into feeding stuff along, so I'd definitely say the game's worth a couple bucks. At least I've had enough fun to throw $5 at sway easily. So 5 out of 0, I need to find a better way of judging or grading free-to-play games.
Yeah, I can't help you there. I would just say, on the free-to-play ones, just you know...
it's worth a look.
Yeah, if we say it's worth a look, it's worth a look. If we say it's not, then it really must not be, because we're very easily impressed.
It's not worth your time if we say not to.
Only do as you hear the voices on the internet say... oh, sorry, wrong show.
That's supposed to be subliminal. They aren't supposed to hear it.
I knew I was doing something wrong.
All right. So you had something to talk about, Big?
I do. I found it last night. I forgot to tell you guys. So you might have heard about this. You might not have. It is a cyberpunk game, and it's got very Gibson-esque art style feel. Very... sci-fi, cyberpunk, noir kind of feel. It's called Cypher, And what's really cool about it, and what's intrigued me, it's trying to bring back text adventure games, but it still has a graphical overlay of, like, the area that you're in, and the characters, and the art style is just really awesome. There's a link if you guys would like to look at it.
Cypher. So, that it's just kind of an adventure game?
Yeah, it's an old school text adventure kind of game. Although they could have done better naming with the city. Neo Sushi? What the hell?
Maybe they liked sushi. Or just had it on their desk when they were trying to think of a name.
I suppose.
Heck, I can't really criticize since the name of the show is Nameless.
Yeah, I'm not sure about bringing back the whole text adventure game where you actually have to type go north, go...
Why not? MUDs are awesome.
Oh, I love MUDs. Don't get me wrong. I'm just... As a fresh game, I'm almost wondering if the point and click might be a better way to go, but that's just me thinking out loud. Don't worry about that.
Yeah, the main... I like adventure games that text-based. I always didn't have much luck since my spelling is crap. But
they also usually did a pretty poor job of conveying things that you could actually do.
That's true.
So you want to pick up a pin, you'd say, pick up the pin, or grab pin, or slap pin across the table. And all those commands are wrong, it's just one little word.
It's like the pin. It's like,
yeah, the pin.
Is this one... So, have you played this one yet? Or?
I have not. I can't... There was a review... on Reddit, on the Cyberpunk subreddit. A lot of people said it was fun, but I could not for the life of me find a way to download the game and try it myself, because I really wanted to. There's a video out, and it looks nice with just the text, and then it's got some graphical overlays. You know, it's got animation. It just looked really nice. I wanted to play it.
Might have to put that in. Try to find a copy of that, too. Try out for next week. That they get it so it actually has a range of stuff for each action. That would be a lot better than the old ones.
Yeah.
Of trying to decipher that exact word and they require.
Yeah, well, the old ones were a lot of times nothing more than overly complicated, you know, case statements.
Yeah.
Whereas the new ones, they might actually be able to do a database with a dictionary file to have multiple words that can work for a command.
Yeah.
And I understand on the old ones why that was hard. I just...
Yeah, I know what you mean.
And may have to try to find a copy of that for next week. Let's see here. I don't know too much other than Cypher to review for next week, but I know later in the week probably going to be having a few games that I'll be playing, because I know both Borderlands 2 and Torchlight 2 come out next week. Both of those I'll probably be picking up. But don't really have anything else to go over, so anybody wanna do any plugs or
I can review the new patch and what's getting ready to come out for a while.
Alright.
They did drop the new patch getting ready for what is everyone calling Pokemon and Pandas. More officially known as Mist of Pandaria. And the patch has definitely dumbed the game down in my eyes, but at the same time, it is like they do with every expansion. Blizzard does a great job as far as their content normally, and I think every expansion has basically keeps dumbing the game down a little bit more, at least until you get to learn to play your class all over again. So from my aspect, I think that the game is still, you know, still worth playing. I don't know if it's worth worth the $60 that I dropped on the expansion just to get the extra mount is the biggest reason I did that. But again, the game overall, I think, is still a decent game. So, but yeah.
All right. So, let's see here. Let's see if I can remember the shows. Shooting the Noise, Wednesday Night.
Watch Shooting the Noise. It's so awesome, it'll blow your dick off.
That sounds painful.
Yeah, I don't think I really want to listen to it anymore. Thursday Night's Beer Decking.
Yep, as I decide more and more that I don't care about telling people how to do horrible shit to the internet.
It isn't falling to corruption fun. It's a lot easier, at least.
It's not corruption, it's apathy.
Corruption, apathy, tomato, tomato. let's see here. I think that's it for shows, unless there's one I'm forgetting. Again, Mops is looking for new DJs and stuff to put on the channel or station. So contact him. I have no clue what to do.
Yeah, we're wanting to get in some live DJing. The station's actually set up to handle that now. So, yeah, if we could get people live controlling on the stream, because I have heard some stuff on the stream where it jumps from one genre into another, and it's just like, yeah, the whole selecting songs at random thing. I mean, granted, we've got nothing but awesome music on there, or at least that's what we try to do, but sometimes.
I know for a while they would decide to play nothing but tack for several hours.
It has done that in the past, yes. Which I'm sure tack likes.
Oh, yeah. Still good music, but a little variety would be nice. Yeah. So, I'm just rambling on now, so I think I'm going to close the show on that. I'll hopefully be back on Monday next week, so catch everybody later.
Peace, y'all.